This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to episode 126.
Christmas.
Of the In Between podcast, where you'll discover ideas to build a strong, connected, and joy-filled marriage and family. My name is Daniel Lim.
And I'm Christina M.
So yes, Christmas.
Yeah.
A different Christmas.
Yep, exactly. Can you hear the sultry sadness in my voice?
Ooh, I like that word, yeah. Sultry.
Well, we wanted to bring up this episode from our archives because it is so timely. Mm. I think even more appropriate than when it first aired back in April.
Which kind of feels like a million years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah. Spring? What is that? And I look back upon all the shutdowns we had in the spring, and I was really quite certain. I don't know if you felt the same way, Daniel, but I was really quite certain that COVID would be a thing of the past come Christmas 2020.
Mm.
And frankly, I was ready to give up celebrating Easter with our family and friends because I knew that we would be back together for Christmas.
But here we are, only days away from Christmas, and we are still in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
With strict lockdowns and instructions from our government to not allow anyone in your home, Christmas for us is certainly going to feel different than years past.
That's why on today's episode, we want to learn how to celebrate everything when you feel like you can't celebrate anything.
We had the privilege and honor of interviewing Catherine Wolf. She is an author, a speaker, an advocate for disabled individuals and their families, and runs the nonprofit ministry Hope Heals. You'll hear more of her story during the podcast, but she has learned to survive anything by redefining everything.
One of my favorite parts of this episode was her constant reminder that our goal should not be to live a pain-free life. Mm-hmm. We can learn so much about ourselves, about others, and about God when we allow Him to meet us in our pain. We pray that this episode brings hope and healing as 2020 comes to an end and 2021 begins. Yeah!
Well, you know, it's fascinating. At the time of this recording, California just went on lockdown. And as I was reading the news, I was like, okay, they're like, you have to stay in your home unless you are an essential service. And I was like, okay, what are the essential services? You know, grocery stores, police, fire department, hospitals. And yes, all that was in the list. But you know what else was in the list? Podcasting.
Podcasting,
no way,
is considered an essential service according to California. So,
well, I agree,
welcome
California.
To the essential
podcast. No, I did. That's so funny. Weird.
Now we are changing lives,
yes.
Behind our microphone.
I love that. Yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah.
So, Catherine, I know many people are loving your books and your and Jay's books and your podcast as well. But for our podcast family who may not know who you are, would you be able to tell us a little bit about your story? And
oh, sure, absolutely. As a 26-year-old and in perfect health with no prior medical history, family history, nothing, I had a massive brainstem stroke out of nowhere. Mm. It was due to an AVM, which is an arterial venous malformation, that was a tiny collection of blood vessels in my brain that actually were a birth defect. I was born with it. It's like a really bad aneurysm that grows and grows and grows in your brain or anywhere in your body. And then mine ruptured when I was 26, and that caused a massive brainstem stroke. And when I had the stroke, the doctors did a surgery to save my life. But in saving my life, many, many things had to be sacrificed to get the bleeding to stop. So I tragically am severely disabled today, but they obviously kept me alive, so it was worth it 1,000%. But they had to remove my ability to walk. I have to use a walker and a wheelchair now. And I can't drive a car, and my hand doesn't work. One hand doesn't work, and my face is paralyzed, and I have a number of really bad health issues now. But life has really gone on, and I was and am still married to the man who walked through this with me, Jay. And my son James was 6 months old at the time when I had the stroke, and he's now 12. And I had another baby just 4 years ago. So John is 4 years old now, and both are doing well. And yeah, life has really gone on post-stroke, mm-hmm. and we are living a wonderful life and a wonderful story, even in the midst of some intense challenges. The disabilities on my body are definitely extreme, but there's no sense in my life or our story that my life isn't wonderful because I had a stroke. It is, and God is so at work and on the move in my life, despite what some would consider the worst thing in the world to have happened, which is, you know, tragedy in youth. And the, you know, 26-year-old young mom becomes really disabled sounds like the worst. Mm. And yet it really wasn't the worst at all. And life is so filled with such intense purpose. And my life is just so full and rich. My husband and I began our ministry, Hope Heals, and now have two books, our original book, same name as the ministry, Hope Heals, and now a second book, Suffer Strong.
So can you take us from the book that you wrote, Hope Heals, and then to this new book, Suffer Strong, for the people who've read the first book, what can they sort of expect from the second book? Does the story continue on? Is there something
right.
that you've learned?
No, it doesn't continue on. Well, I guess in some ways it does because the story's always continuing. Mm. However, Hope Heals is really our memoir of the stroke. It's really the story of what happened to us. Suffer Strong is the lessons learned.
Okay.
It's like the practical, here's the stuff of how to suffer strong in your own life. Mm-hmm. So the byline of Suffer Strong is how to survive anything by redefining everything.
Wow.
And it's really a deep dive at how life defines us, our lives are defined, and how in suffering we get to redefine. We all, in our deep suffering, look at life differently. And then ultimately, hope in our stories, hope, the hope of Jesus, we believe, refines us. So life defines us, suffering redefines us, and ultimately hope refines us. So we have the opportunity to emerge refined because of our suffering, not in spite of it.
Yeah. Can you say that sentence one more time? Suffering.
Absolutely. Life defines us,
okay.
Suffering redefines us, and hope refines us.
Wow.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And Catherine, was this something that that you learned in and through the process? Like for our listeners, for our podcast family listening in, there's that sense of, oh, okay, that sounds good. I want the redefinition. I don't want the suffering. I want the redefinition because I'm not content, or there's these things that I'm dealing with right now. Can you give some words of encouragement to those in that place right now?
Of course. Well, my story, to be clear, has been one not of always feeling strength in my suffering. It took 5 years for me to come up for air after the stroke. Both my husband and I, for about the first 5 years, were in a deep cycle of surgery and more physical therapy to learn to walk and swallowing therapies to relearn to eat food and just an endless cycle of near despair-like feelings of, will things ever go back to quote-unquote normal? And I think people need to give themselves tremendous, tremendous freedom and permission to take time to grieve the losses before you can then celebrate what remains. Right. And I think people try to rush that process too much. People need to give themselves the permission to not wake up the morning after tragedy, excited to take on life anew. I mean, there's much that is lost when there is tragedy and loss. And the truth is God meets us there.
Yes, exactly.
But it doesn't mean we have to tell the world about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It may take a few years, you know? And I think that's such freedom, the permission to grieve.
I think that's amazing, especially for this time, Catherine, as there are so many people who have just experienced unexpected loss, whether it's through a job or, you know, parents who have had to stay home now because their daycares are closed, or children who are home now who don't want to be home. They want to be back in their schools. Can you tell us a little bit about what your grieving process looked like? Because as much as we can name our grief, I think there's a lot of people who don't know how to grieve. They understand that I feel sad. And then there's other people who are like, you know, even just reading on Facebook, like, listen, our grandparents were in the war before and they had to do this. So perk up, you'll be fine. Just get over it. Be sad for 2 days and go on. And I think it just really helps people when they hear other people's stories to be able to be like, oh, so that's what it looks like. And you're saying that, you know, you don't have to wake up the next day and feel better. But what does it look like when things are not back to normal, quote unquote, normal in a month or in 3 months? Mm-hmm. So if you could share a little bit about your story, your grieving part, I think that would be really hopeful even to us and our podcast
family. You know, they say that when we tell our stories of overcoming, that they become somebody else's survival guide.
Oh, I love that. Yep.
For overcoming. Mm-hmm. And I love that thought too. And that is the truth, because it's the truth of 2 Corinthians 1, that when we comfort others with the comfort we've received, then we are comforted ourselves. Oh, yeah. It's so beautiful that the cycle of comfort comes. And I would say that's been a huge part of my healing, is comforting others with the comfort I've received. It's balm to your soul to get to go outside of yourself. But I think perhaps you're asking about before then, about the time of grief, right? Or both?
Yes, both.
You know, during the darkest times of deep grief, I really wrestled with, did God make a mistake here by leaving me on earth? And had, this weird caught between life and death thing been an accident? Could God be trusted? Is he even real? I mean, all the questions of, this makes no sense. This is horrific. And I can remember in those terrible moments early on, really in one specific moment, actually, of just really feeling a deep, overwhelming sense that somehow this was part of something so much bigger than I could ever understand. And that God's sovereignty was so profound and so deep that I could never understand how, but that I could trust God that this somehow fit. And this was exactly what my life was to be defined by. And there was such a glorious freedom in that. Instead of feeling just so cursed by God or relegated to life in a wheelchair or whatever, just that, you know, that now I'm unqualified to do these things. Instead, in that moment and in every moment since then, I felt chosen by God, which is such a bizarre feeling that God chose me for this and chose this suffering for me. Ephesians 4:1, that this is a special calling that I'm to live a life worthy of. And I deeply believe that God assigns everything in our lives to us. And when I see I'm on, and when I feel that I'm on assignment from God, it very much changes how I view my circumstances.
The wait is over. Find out what happens in the thrilling conclusion of the 12th Dead Sea Squirrels book, Babylon Breakout. Hi, I'm Mike Naraki, co-creator of VeggieTales, voice of Larry the Cucumber, and author of The Dead Sea Squirrels. Get ready for more daring rescues and hilarious jokes as Merle and Pearl and their animal friends embark on a ridiculous mission to bust the kidnapped Gomez family out of Babylon, a Bible-themed amusement park with talking animals. Young readers will love the nutty misadventures of 10-year-old Michael and his friends and will learn all about biblical life lessons such as forgiveness and friendship. Read all 12 Dead Sea Squirrels books. Available wherever books are sold.
When you were having those thoughts and those questions about life and is this a mistake? I'm still alive. And just those days and days and days. How did you turn the page? How did you turn the page? Because, you know, in your books and on your podcast, I mean, the thing that comes across is that y'all love to celebrate.
Yeah.
That y'all love to party. During that unknown period, did you stop celebrating? And how did you start celebrating again?
No, that's a great question. And the answer is kind of. I mean, I didn't eat for a year, so celebrations actually were quite different. And, you know, there is this horrific paralysis that comes with deep tragedy. You feel frozen. Yeah. So perhaps one of the ways back to life is to do just that, is to choose to still show up for life, to still celebrate, even if everything is falling apart. So yes, we very much did. I mean, we still would drive, even right after the stroke, when we had to move miles, over 60 miles away from our old church, we would drive and still attend church. Here I am, unable to eat in a wheelchair, just in a really, really compromised situation. And we still wanted to show up places and live our lives and not isolate or hibernate in the midst of our tragedy. And I do think that helped tremendously to help us turn the corner, turn the page eventually. Also, what tremendously helped us really to be able long-term to do that was to share our story. Yeah. Is to start really, actually, it's funny. It kind of happened to us. We didn't ever seek out that. Early on, when I was still in the hospital, sweet family and friends set up what was called a Caring Bridge site. Have you heard of that?
No,
like a site that you would, do they have that in Canada?
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't heard about it.
Heard
yeah,
it either,
let
yeah.
us know, Catherine. Maybe we do. We just don't know about it.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful website. I think it's still around, where people basically give updates about what's going on medically with people.
Oh,
called
Cambridge.
So that kind of morphed year after year into what became sort of a website just to keep up with my updates. Mm-hmm. And then now, of course, social media is so prolific that that's kind of the means to share updates of any kind. But basically, somehow sharing just basic info to pray for led to a real sense of like, there's purpose in this. I'm getting to share about the gospel of Jesus in my story and getting to go way beyond like my health to sharing about hope in Jesus. Right. And there's just, when you feel like your life is being used, it changes how you feel about your life.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
When you are like, I'm a part of something. And for me, what that is being a tiny part of making the truth of Jesus known in our world. Mm-hmm. Living out Isaiah 26:8, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth, we wait eagerly for you. For your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. Mm. So when you live with that purpose, that that his name and fame is the desire of your heart, and you get to be a part of helping others know that and see that and believe that, it changes your desire to get up and go and turn the page. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yes. And I think it's so moving for those who are, I'm sure, who are reading your updates. And as we share as believers, as we're walking through this very unknown time, that we don't have all the answers, that we are grieving as well, that, you know, we're taking one step in front of the other, but we're looking towards Christ. I love our church has been talking a lot about Psalm 23. You know, even though we walk through the shadow of death, we fear no evil because you are with us, and how right. we can really show the hope that we have through just being honest and through
right.
The faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And Catherine, as you were talking about before, you you and Jace kind of stepped into this, I wanted to share a personal story with y'all. As we got a copy of your book, Suffer Strong, and I was immediately drawn to it. We had actually been through our second car accident within 2 months. All of our family were involved in it. And from the first accident, I had a severe concussion. And then through the second accident, I was actually very, very afraid. There's about 3 or 4 days where I wasn't sure if my concussion was going to come back. And, but at least I could still read. And so I picked up your book and went through the contents. And the chapter that really spoke to me was chapter 3, Joyful Rebellion, Redefining Salvation. And the part that I underlined and highlighted and God really spoke to me, I want to read this to y'all, our podcast family. Celebration can be an act of worship and an act of hope.
Right.
And perhaps in a way, an act of joyful rebellion against fear. It's about remembering our future. And I cannot tell you just the way that God moved through those sentences in my heart, that just reminding me that he does have a plan and purpose for these things that have happened to us. And it just filled me with so much hope and pointed my eyes in the right direction. So I wanted to thank y'all for the book. And I also wanted I just wanted to be able to share with the ways that God has used your book to even minister to us. And that whole chapter, y'all, you know, if you're just thinking maybe I should get the book even for the whole thing, but get the book for that whole chapter. I think it's
that's what really spoke to you, because that chapter has a very special place in my heart, actually, because I feel like that is such the core of my message of who I am, is about being a joy rebel in many ways. I like to say I'm an idol disruptor, actually, because I get to be a part of disrupting the idol of the worship of a pain-free life.
Wow.
And that is so powerful, that really all of us bow down and worship this idol of health. And that's the only way there's joy in life, is if we're healthy and wealthy and life is great and easy. And the truth is the opposite, that celebration and joy can be a part of the hard stories of suffering. And those are not mutually exclusive, that good, wonderful, and hard, difficult, are not mutually exclusive. And we can celebrate even when things aren't perfect. And celebration is an act of worship. You're absolutely right, because we are all worshiping something.
Mm-hmm.
And truly we can very powerfully celebrate, even in the midst of our hard situations and stories. And what is so interesting is in this moment, that feels very applicable.
Yes, exactly.
It's very powerful to have this conversation today in the midst of, some really tough stuff in the world and some tough suffering. Yeah. And I love that. Joyful rebellion, redefining celebration is important for us all.
Yeah. Yeah. In that chapter, you talk about how celebration can be an act of four things: worship, community, faith, and joyful rebellion. Can you walk us through each of those four points, starting with worship?
The wait is over. Find out what happens in the thrilling conclusion of the 12th Dead Sea Squirrels book, Babylon Breakout. Hi, I'm Mike Naraki, co-creator of VeggieTales, voice of Larry the Cucumber, and author of The Dead Sea Squirrels. Get ready for more daring rescues and hilarious jokes as Merle and Pearl and their animal friends embark on a ridiculous mission to bust the kidnapped Gomez family out of Babylon, a Bible-themed amusement park with talking animals. Young readers will love the nutty misadventures of 10-year-old Michael and his friends and will learn all about biblical life lessons such as forgiveness and friendship. Read all 12 Dead Sea Squirrels books, available wherever books are sold.
Oh, sure. Well, specifically, worship may be something that you're not always feeling
right
in the midst of really hard times. But the truth is, Psalm 42:5, that we can get bossy with our souls, honestly, and get our soul back on board with what we know to be true. I love the psalmist writing in 42:5. He says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" And then we see the shift: hope in God, for I will again praise him, my rock and my salvation. So we see the psalmist get his soul back on board and say, here's what we're doing. We're actually going to take the situation that we're in and we're going to rejoice in the Lord. I can't remember if it's in that chapter or not, or actually maybe it's not even in that book. Maybe it's in my first book. Sorry, I can't remember. I talk about Habakkuk 3. 17 and 18 are a beautiful passage of scripture that say, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, mm-hmm. though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Mm-hmm. And way back in 2009, right after, less than a year after my stroke, when I was still in a really bad situation, I took that passage. And for some reason, I rewrote it to fit my situation. So I wrote, though I cannot walk and I'm confined to a wheelchair, mm-hmm. though my face is paralyzed and I cannot smile, though I am extremely impaired and cannot take care of my own baby boy, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior.
Oh my goodness.
And it was so powerful because what I was doing, I didn't even have words for it yet, language to describe what I was doing. I now know that to be very clear. I was preaching to my heart. Yeah. I was getting bossy with my soul and saying,
yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will, despite my situation. Mm. And it was very powerful impact to the brain to rejoice in the Lord, despite everything falling apart in your story.
Wow. That's worship. That is exactly. Incredible. It's incredible.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I love in your chapter I would love for you to explain to our podcast family too, those who haven't read the chapter yet, about your, I believe you called it your brokenness brunch and how a celebration came out of not that things were perfect, but that y'all were broken. Can you give us a little bit of a picture of what that looked like as you were celebrating your brokenness?
Absolutely. I love the brokenness brunch so much. I'm so glad you asked about it. Basically, I gathered four friends way back in 2014, I think, so 6 years ago, and hosted a brokenness brunch, which was just my little offering and idea that I think the Lord really put on my heart to do. To do a number of things, actually, one of which is to encourage us in our brokenness, but two, it was this bizarre perspective giving moment, and God really met us there. What I did was invite four friends over for brunch, where each one of them was going through a very difficult trial in the midst of it, not on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And each one was very different than my own and different from each other's. So I stumbled upon something very, very beautiful in that we all had really bad brokenness in our stories. One had extreme financial breakdown, tragedy. Her husband had lost his job. She was having to wait tables to make ends meet, and it was just a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Another had a special needs child with a difficult prognosis and future. Another had a mentally ill mother that was impacting her own children. Another husband had left her with three children to raise, so become a single mother overnight after finding out her husband had had multiple horrific affairs with mutual friends of theirs. Just tragic. Mm. And then I, of course, was coping with life post-stroke and a very disabled body with an uncertain future. And just a real nightmare physically. And what God did as we took our coffee cups and toasted to God meeting us on earth in that moment and in every moment of our suffering was really a rebellion. Because what we were doing as we gathered in that brokenness wretch moment was not celebrating our mess and the suffering, but celebrating God in the middle of the story and celebrating the fact that he would never leave or abandon us and that he was good and present and in the midst with us. And also we were celebrating God's power, that his power was bigger than any problem that we could ever have, that his power was on display in our weakness, actually. 2 Corinthians 12:9, that we could boast that his grace is sufficient and at work when we feel so inadequate. What we were ultimately doing that was so powerful, and I helped to start a trend. Everybody, go have a brokenness brunch.
Yeah. Love it.
Because what that brunch was doing was saying we all have a different brand of brokenness. It looks very different for everybody, but it is all part of the same story of suffering. Yes, same story of suffering, but ultimately the same story of strength, that we can all find our strength in Jesus to get through the deep suffering we're walking through.
Amen. Exactly. And I'm thinking now is everyone, you know, may not be able to meet in their physical homes with a bunch of people and have this brokenness brunch. We can do this online. We can do it over FaceTime. Everyone bring
Absolutely.
Your coffee. Everyone bring your apple pie or whatever is your comfort food and be able to sit together. Doesn't matter if your hair is done or the kids are, you know, running around in the background or whatnot. And we can connect together. And
100%.
And be
absolutely.
Joyful rebellions together.
Yes, yes, we get to have our brokenness brunch or whatever we do. Any sort of celebration in tribulation, I say. The tribulation celebrations can be an afternoon snack
right.
with our online friends yep. or a formal sit-down dinner with 50 one day when COVID's over. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is. It's about celebrating God in the story.
Exactly. So, Catherine, as our final question for our podcast family, for what, as this is, as we were joking about that we are kind of history makers in this time where no one in the world has experienced something like we are experiencing. Do you have anything on your heart that you would love to share with our podcast family as a final word, as they're just listening maybe in the quietness of their bathroom, because that's the only place that's quiet and can have, you know, time away from the family or whatnot. Is there anything that you would love to share to
Oh gosh, so many things. But what I have been so marinating on in this time, but really in every day post-stroke, is that God made us for the hard parts of our stories. And that includes this moment. And everything hard we're walking through, not associated with this moment, with COVID. We all have lives and problems already, let's be honest. But God made us for this stuff. He's given us everything we need. His divine power has given us absolutely everything we need to cope, to hope while we cope in this broken world we're in. That God is not thrown off by COVID. Oh, no, no, no. He is present in this and in all things, for sure. And he wired us to live well, even in situations that are not easy.
Catherine, that phrase, life defines us, suffering refines us, and
redefines
us. And what was the last?
Yes.
Hope.
And hope refines us, right?
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's the name of the game. Ultimately, hope refines us and we emerge as refined versions of ourselves because of the suffering we've endured, not in spite of it.
Well, Catherine, thank you for the hope that you've filled our hearts with in turning our eyes to Jesus and to the one who can truly give us that hope. Thank you for doing that for us, for our podcast family, because these are the days that we are in right now. Man, our world needs, if it needs one thing, it needs hope. It needs a lot of hope in the midst of everything going on. So thank you, Catherine.
I could not agree more. That's right. Well, Romans 15:13 is the key for us all. And my prayer that may the God of hope fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the deep truth. We need hope and he is the hope giver.
Amen. And that is something to celebrate.
Yes.
Thank you, Catherine.
We told you it was going to be a fun episode, eh?
Right. Yeah.
Well, Catherine's incredible.
Yes, she really, really is. And what a story. I love how she was sharing all her moments of celebration, her moments of grief, and her moments of learning to hold grief and joy, or grief and celebration, in both hands. Wasn't the story about her brokenness brunch just absolutely incredible? The kids and I recently gathered around our kitchen table and had our own brokenness brunch. We had just found out that we could no longer have friends over for American Thanksgiving, and we were just tired of it all, right? We ate dessert for breakfast and brought our tears, our disappointments, and our pain to the table. We talked, we cried, we prayed, and we hoped for a day that we could gather the people we love around our kitchen table again. We learned to lament.
So maybe one of these days during this Christmas season, you can have your own brokenness brunch.
Yeah, I think that would be really powerful, because a lot of us have lost our hopes and our dreams in some senses, and we just don't really know where to turn. But I think it's really powerful if we take the time to name it for ourselves and help our kids name the losses that we've had, and also to remind ourselves that we are in it together.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If someone came to mind as you were listening to this episode, or if you feel like you could be an encouragement to someone by sending them this message where we're learning to celebrate everything when you feel like you can't celebrate anything, then the easiest thing to do is in your podcast app, just hit the share button and you can send this over to them, or you can text them the link inbetween.org/episode126. But next week, Christina, on episode 127, what are we going to be talking about?
We are going to be talking about the lessons from a year that did not go as planned.
Awesome. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.
This episode was brought to you in part by the Truce Podcast. The new season examines the connection between some evangelicals and the Republican Party with the help of world-class historians. Subscribe to Truce in your podcast app or listen at trucepodcast.com.